This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We have with us this morning Ahmad Izam Omar, the Chief Executive of PrimeWorks Sdn Bhd, which is the content creation subsidiary of the government-owned Media Prima Berhad and Malaysia's largest production company. Izam, welcome back to the grill. You have been on with us before, back in the days with Noel Lim. And yes, must have brought back warm, fuzzy memories of those halcyon days.
Oh, halcyon. I've never used that in a sentence.
Well, you just did.
Oh, yeah, I just did. Yeah, but I remember Noel, she grilled me, really, you know. So that was really fun, yeah.
Yeah, in that case, you'll be quite well prepared to deal with the current burning issue in the Malaysian film industry, which is the whole issue of the language segregation, I think, in the Film Festival Malaysia. You know, you head one of, in fact, the biggest production company in the country. I'm sure you've got some good views on the issue.
Okay, well, I didn't know you were going to ask me about this, so this is this is a curveball. But okay, I'll try and answer it. I have a point of view, which is every film awards have their own criteria. They have their board directors, they have their reason why they do things, and that's why there's so many different awards. Like there's the Grammy Awards, there's the American Music Awards, everything has its own criteria. So I'm guessing Film Festival Malaysia had its own criteria, of which I think it tried to open up. But in a way, probably most people felt very strongly about. So for me, it's like, you know, that's what they wanted, and that's what the award was. So
well, you see, the thing is, Malaysia is not the US, where you've got 300 million people. Malaysia is a 30 million population, and you've got a tiny addressable market, so to speak. And, you know, this tinier market is already segregated along racial lines, cultural lines, age lines, and all kinds of lines. Mm-hmm. You've got a tiny market, and why would you want to, if that was indeed the intention, you know, to even further dilute your addressable market? You will want to appeal to as broad a swath of the population as possible.
True. To me, everything is commercial. It's really commercial.
Well, it has to be commercial because Correct. You are a profit-making entity.
Yeah, but that's me. I'm not Festival Film Malaysia, right?
But how can the creative arts thrive if there is no commercial proposition?
Well, that's the thing. Most people think that you got to win an award to be successful. To me, that's why it wasn't such a big issue to me, because I never thought winning awards would be the one that led us to being commercial. To me, that's just a nice icing on the cake. I think what they were trying to do is that what would represent Malaysia overseas? For example, if you had, the BAFTA awards, you know, and there was a movie out in Norwegian, but was all done by British. Would that be a British film? Or would they go like up in arms and go like, how can we have a Norwegian language film represent us? I don't know. So that, to me, it's a very, very sensitive issue. And I know a lot of people have very different opinions on it. But for me, it's like, hey, that's an award. That's their criteria. If you want to have our own, let's have our own criteria and do it.
Well, I agree with you, because at the end of the day, it's box office and ticket sales that drive the industry forward. The thing is, Malaysia seems to be afflicted by all these unnecessary problems, because when you look at the Thai film industry and even the Singapore creative arts industry, you know, they're making a bit of an impact. And when you look at Sundance or BAFTA or, you know, Cannes, for example, you see quite a lot of entries from those countries, but not necessarily from Malaysia. Yeah. In fact, the Malaysian film industry doesn't even have an identity.
I think that was what FFM was trying to do. I think that was what they're trying to do. But, you know,
By segregation?
That's the thing. It comes from our society. We've been segregated since we were kids. And so it's not,
well,
like,
not necessarily, because I remember growing up in the 70s and we used to do all kinds of things together, and now, you know, we've never been more divided.
Yeah, I know. Tell me, I went to school in La Salle Primary. Yeah, La Salle Primary.
Exactly.
And I was like, I didn't know who was what race and all. We were just playing in the longkang every day. It was just fun. Me and my best friend, Daniel Lum, was my best friend.
You just altered your... But I was playing in the playground, not in the longkang.
I was in the longkang in the playground. So, yeah. Well, the thing is, right, a lot of countries benefit from being a homogenic society. So it's easy for them. But for us, we were multiracial. We should be proud of the fact that we were multiracial. And therefore, we have many different languages and people not necessarily could speak BM perfectly. And that's something that we need to accept. And the thing is, when it transcends into film, and that's the thing that everybody gets, you know, all like, you know, upset about, you know, how can you say, you know, this Chinese film is not a Malaysian film, and how can you say that? But to me, right, those are dead awards. That's all these other things.
You sound like a voice of reason, and you sound like you're quite a well-balanced chap, which you are. And you also head the country's biggest production company. You must have some kind of say. You've been in the organization in Media Prima for, you know, many, many years. How is it that someone like you, of your stature, you know, I mean, outwardly at least, have been unable to influence the you know, the balance of the industry.
Well, that's the thing. We have commercial, sensibility, right? But that in that, we also have this responsibility that we feel that we gotta try and progress a society, progress a nation in a way. So
what do you mean by commercial sensibility?
Okay, for example, while we do all these big dramas on TV, you know, the Encikku Suami, you know, and all that kind of dramas, they rate really highly. But at the same time,
among who?
Amongst the mass market, so you got big high ratings.
Who is the mass market? Because I talk to the young fellas. I talk to, they hardly watch local production.
Correct,
anymore.
Because you live in a society where we are in. You are, and actually with me as well. We are in ivory towers, my friend. We are living.
Well, we are nonetheless at least low double digit segmentation.
Very true.
Which is not small.
Very true. Problem with free to air. And we broadcast, you know, if you want to get advertisers, you got to reach the highest number amount of people possible, right? Okay, so let's say, when I say that we live in ivory towers, me and you, we're right now in an air-conditioned place, you know, we go back to our air-conditioned house, we go in an air-conditioned car, right? But when you step out of the car, you kind of walk along BU here, right outside your office, you will see 9 out of 10 people here, you know that, wait a minute, these guys, they are probably watching the Encikku Suami, Mr. Perfect 10, all those kind of things, right, which are highly, highly rated. So, well, while we have to do that, at the same time, we try to create something new at the same time so that we can always progress in the society. That's what I mean. You don't just go all out, 10 out of 10, you do, you know, commercial stuff. You also got to try and progress it.
So here's the scenario. You've got Ola Bola, you've got Jagat being two of the most commercially successful films of 2016, 2015. Uh-huh. Okay, and then you've also got this whole issue of free-to-air TV and print as well.
Right.
Arguably, two of the most divisive and racially motivated segments of the media industry,
yeah,
seeing vicious and month-on-month consecutively double-digit declines, whereas digital, online, out of form, and all the other, you know, even radio, even growing by certain segments. You know, pay TV is the fastest growing, right? Astro, and they've got a huge. So what I'm saying, right, is that divisiveness does not pay. Divisiveness does not, you know, pay the bills, nor does it give you a financial sustainability. And were it not for certain other segments of Media Prima's business, like radio...
I agree with that. But you know what? Okay, here is my point of view.
Does Media Prima want to die a slow death, what I'm asking.
That's the thing. We are guided by target marketing. We are guided by divide and conquer. So who's at fault? Wait, before you say anything.
Who's
learning the 4 P's in marketing? Target marketing, market segmentation, divide and conquer. So when the advertisers say...
It's the same mantra that the government...
I didn't say that. The marketers said. Chong said it. Ahmad Izzama did not say that. But anyway, the thing is, right, because you learn, okay, people, certain demographics, they are like this. So when marketers rule the day, right, of course, advertisers rule the day, they have the money. The media follow. To me, right, there is a lot of money in the melting pot. It's just that it's very, very difficult to put it in a nice marketing presentation. How do you attract the melting pot? The other thing, you talk about the other two films, right?
Yeah.
I'm also, kind of upset that one of the films that we distributed and didn't make, right, which is Boy, 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 the movie, right, actually sold more than these two films. They had a bigger box office than those two films. And in fact, I think it was a hell of a film because for the first 40 minutes watching Boy, 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 I couldn't sit down. It was just that good. I didn't realize it was going to be that good. It was that good. And it's not my film, so I'm not really pushing it. So to me, why do we, you know, well, that's Boy, 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 right? So for me, I feel that film festival, it's up to them what they want to do. They have their own criteria. Right? But again, back to this marketing divisiveness, I feel that if we can figure out how to market to a combined group, I think that would be great.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the thing is, the film festival issue was a very great, manifestation and a very good example of what ails the industry.
Mm.
And a lot was made about how corporate sponsorships are not following through, you know, the AirAsias and the CIMBs. You know, who are you to diss us if you're not putting money there? But it's chicken and egg, because if you don't appeal to a broad swath, you ain't going to get the money. It's as simple as that.
I understand, but I understand also the reason why they also had all these different film festivals. They were one for every language. I think also was trying to get the sponsors who actually wanted something more focused on. Anyway, it's a chicken and egg. You're right. Someone needs to have the kahunas to actually go and try and say, let's do something different, and everybody will follow.
But why not you? You're in charge of the biggest production house. You're 43% of, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm busy making money instead of fighting about all these things. I'm not worried.
But money
about
for
it.
Now, money for now is you know, understood. I mean, you're not money making understood. Money for the long term. Is it something you can't change? Why not?
Which is why we made things like Clever Girl.
I don't know. I don't know what Clever Girl is.
Oh, Clever Girl is a reality show, right? That pits 14 girls from 14 different states, right, to become the most cleverest girl in Malaysia.
Why not Clever Boy, la? You know.
Because usually boys are not that clever. But the funny thing is, right? Guess what? The show, everybody kutuk the show lah. Say, how can these girls be not so clever and all that? Because one girl made the unfortunate remark that, you know, this is a different personality than what was shown, right? However, 99% of the questions are very, very difficult. And in any game show, of course, you start with easy questions to the tough ones. This girl got one wrong, but that's fine. The thing is, we have an interest from Fremantle, I don't mind saying the name, a big distributor who actually wants to take this show and develop it and sell it across the world.
We're talking to Ahmad Izam Omar, the chief executive of PrimeWorks Syndrome Berhad, which is the content creation subsidiary of the government-owned Media Prima Berhad and Malaysia's largest production company. We're going to be talking about that issue after this, Izam, the whole issue of the growing vernacular market segment. Ahmad Izam Omar, the chief executive of PrimeWorks, who is the content creation subsidiary of government-owned Media Prima and the country's largest production firm?
It is not government-owned Media Prima.
Then
it's
who
a private
owns
company
the media?
Owned by the shareholders.
Majority owned by government entities.
Shareholders is out in the market.
Well, that's
you can buy a share.
I can buy a share.
Come on.
I can't control.
Price is going to go up.
If I try to buy 51% of Media Prima, I would be prohibited, and I dare you to prevent me from.
I don't mind having you as my boss.
No. I would love to have you as my boss. So anyway, I'm back to the issue at hand, and I think you raised this very interesting issue of Fremantle being interested in your content because it calls into play the larger, obviously much more lucrative international market. And we know that the vernaculars, you know, the non-English market is growing by leaps and bounds. So you're too busy making money. You're too busy making content for the local market, which obviously is very lucrative.
Right.
But long-term sustainability, you know, as a growing entity, what's the roadmap from here to there?
Well, that's the thing. I think the world is big out there, and it's bigger than the little pond that we're in right now, which is I'm not so worried about all these issues that we have here because I really want to focus outside. To that end, we actually we are working with a good little animation company called Wow Animation, and they came out with Agent Ali. So we co-invested in that, and we feel that with animation, right, it can just go anywhere because Agent Ali it's racially blind. You look at it and you see the characters could be from anywhere around the world. And it's really high quality from Wow Animation, so we're really proud of that.
Yeah. Well, it is, and it isn't, because when you look at Pocahontas, it was clearly what it was, but it wasn't racially blind because it just played into that. So
that's Pocahontas.
correct. But right. It's animation and it's Disney whatever it was. Right? It was Pixar. But that's the addressable market.
Yes.
And that could be the future. True. That could be what Malaysia's Khazana and Iskandar is all
right. With
for.
Agent Ali, right, we've got immediate interest from distributors outside because it's just, you know, you can dub it, you can change it, you can do whatever you want. The cat could do stuff, you know, Agent Ali has a cat.
So what is the potential here?
The potential is going into animation, which is what we went into. We also realized that from the success of Upin Ipin and Boba Boy, both we distributed here. But I think with Agent Ali, we have a share in the IP. So that means it's beyond just selling content. We've got games, we've got merchandising and all that kind of nice stuff. You know.
Okay, then you've also got to deal with the online phenomenon and content creators, you know, kids working out of their living rooms and a bit of a, you know, one or two devices. And, you know, like you've got people like Ginny Boy and the Ming Thing and all, you know, or what have you. And these guys are earning, you know, serious bucks in US dollar terms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so and then you've got the Colossus, which is Media Prima, and obviously Mark
Colossus.
It's a Colossus. You know, so you know.
Just now you called us a dying dinosaur. Now it's a Colossus.
Well, it's both. You're dying.
What is this? Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
It's schizophrenia.
The thing is, most people don't know this, but Media Prima actually we did something kind of cool. We had 8TV, which was urban and Chinese.
That's right.
We switched off the urban part. So it all went online into a little thing called Studio 8. of which there are all these various things, basically online video strategy, working with people, there's all these YouTubers and stuff, and working with them, trying to get their content to be up to a different level, and then bringing them into the traditional colossus, if you will, and then go feedback each other. It's like a little ecosystem where you feed on each other, you know what
okay,
I mean?
So that's interesting. Can you expand that idea? Because they're already making, you know, money off eyeballs on their own channels. Right. And then what is the proposition for them to spend more time with you in your machine?
Well, with us, I think we have a set list of clients that work with us who would like the fact that of our discipline to production to maybe a different kind of more traditional but actually a more polished quality, access to advertisers, of course, access to production equipment. So once you get that going, right, it's really happening. We've got the new great ideas, the crazy, zany ideas from online YouTubers and people on those online video platforms. And you've got the traditional stuff from Media Prima, and you combine those two, I think it's really great.
So when you originate ideas and you have ideation for new programs within the conventional fold, tell us about that and how that differs from how you're originating new content and new ideas. Or are they quite similar now? In terms of your online, bridging the gap.
Well, ideas come from anywhere right now. Some ideas come from online. Some ideas come from just walking in the corridor and just looking at something. Some ideas come from the traditional pitching. So we are just open to anything right now. There's no set way of getting.
What about funding methodologies? Because conventionally, if I come to you with an idea, you're gonna say, why don't you fund it yourself? Shoot a pilot, bring along a corporate sponsor, and then we'll think about putting on one of our platforms. How is it different today?
It's the same. We have that as well. And also there are some other content that when we look at it, we go like, oh, I really got to do that now. And then we actually throw a lot of funds in it. And some we feel like this content is so huge. We need help. For example, we are doing this huge movie called Pulang, right? It's about this guy in the 40s. He kind of went on a ship trying to make money and he never returned. What happened? So the thing is, it's so huge. It requires a lot of sinking ships and ports in Liverpool, in Hong Kong, in Tokyo, that we actually had to get to work with a CGI company, of which enabled us to get a CGI grant from the government, because it's such a huge project. We couldn't do it on our own. But this is one of the international projects that we're doing. It's a movie called Pulang.
Okay, so what is the KPI on a project like that? Is it awards? Is it box office? Is it both? International recognition?
That one is really... This one is really taking a risk. You know what I mean? Closing your eyes and going like,
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
There's no precedent for this.
Well, that's what it's all about.
We have no idea what it's going to do, but you know what? This is the thing that will either define us or we'll go down in blazing flames. Either way, it's going to be fun, right? But so those are the things. Before that, also, for example, this movie coming out on the 1st of September, which we also produced, is more of a low-budget movie. It's called Pekak. But this is an amazing movie that's gone to Cannes. It's gone to some film festivals around the world. And it's a really gritty movie about this deaf guy who wants to hear. So he starts selling drugs to get money and get the girl of his dreams. It's really well done by this new film director. And this is what we're really happy about. You know, we try and find these new first-time directors, give them a chance, give them a bit of a budget, and they come up with this gem of a movie.
Well, maybe that's what's needed, Izam, because when I look at your numbers from 2015 to 2016, you've had a shrinkage in revenue from 111 million odd to about 93 million odd. And, your profits after tax have gone from 9 million odd to 3 million odd. So obviously you're a bit of a... In fact, you are a victim of the whole AdX shrinkage in the industry. Nobody is spared, clearly. Only Astro, maybe. And you've had... Well, in fact, you didn't pay any dividends to your government shareholders,
okay.
Right? You might disagree.
You've done some stalking.
But shareholders, that's what we do. You see, we stalk our guests.
Yeah,
but are you allowed to take a risk, is what I'm saying. I mean, how big a risk... Put it that another way. This is all in, right? Is this an all-in period where, unless you do something revolutionary...
Yeah.
You're not going to make it.
That's the thing with content. That's the thing with content, right, which nobody realizes or nobody thinks about, because you're only as good as your last hit. There's no such thing as trends. The trends is you're only as good as your last hit. So if you have to keep coming up with something different and something new all the time, the Clever Girls, the Pekaks, and the Pulangs, and the Agent Alis, all those things, you got to keep doing it and you got to take a risk. Always, you'll always fail 70% of the time. Which means you are actually pushing the boundaries. If you're not failing or you're not trying to fail, that means you're playing too safe and you will kind of fail all the time. This is sounds so cliche, but this is what we got to face every day. So we got to have this failure built into our P&L in a way.
Ahmad Izam Omar, the chief executive of Primeworks Studios in Johor Bahru, which is the content creation subsidiary of Media Prima Berhad. Now, of course, you have, it's a bit like the VC industry. You know, you fund 10 and you have 9 bombs and you have one runaway winner and kind of funds the other one. So is Pulang it? And how much are you going to spend on Pulang?
Pulang is a lot of money. It's double what we usually spend.
And
we usually spend up to about a couple of million per movie.
So that's not a lot by Hollywood definitions.
Of course not. Hollywood spends $300 million on John Carter and the guy got fired. Hey, crazy, but the thing is he took a risk and they knew they had to take a risk. Walt Disney spent so much on Sleeping Beauty, right? He nearly got fired by his own board.
So you're going to be spending about 5 million ringgit on Pulang?
Something around, I didn't say that number, but yeah, something along that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's only, what is that, in one over million US dollars?
It's tiny. However, the talent here, for example, our director, Kabe Bhatia, and the people we work with, the art director, the costume guys, we can do so much at a cheaper price than what the Hollywood guys are doing because they charge so much anyway. For example, Boba Boy, the movie was done at a price, which I think, I'm not sure what the actual price is, but it's way cheaper than, let's say, a Pixar film. But in Malaysia, it still can garner the same amount of...
So how do you ensure it's box office? How are you going to ensure you're going to get an ROI of XX on your investment? What's the distribution? What's the marketing? You know, right. How many trips to Cannes? I mean, not as if it's not a pleasure to go to Cannes, but you've got to make the rounds.
Of course. For something like a big international movie, you got to go out and meet people. You got to go out and In the Malay word is terserempak. You got to terserempak with someone in the corridor and go like, hey.
Well, that's what you got to do. You got to network. You got to rub shoulders.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to find until you turn that corner, right? So you just got to keep turning corners, left, right, until you find something. So that's what, for example, like we've turned, the other day, 2-3 years ago, we met these guys from Nippon TV. And they just say, hey, let's do something. I say, okay, let's do something. And boom, suddenly now we're doing something with them. They're actually sponsoring or actually working with us for reality shows, documentaries. And now they're investing into a Malay drama. Can you believe it?
Japanese
broadcaster.
People say that the Malaysian film industry has not had international box office success. Might be wrong because, local money has funded, films like The Wolf of Wall Street. So how can we, continue the successful trend?
It was Chong, by the way.
It was box office, wasn't it?
I don't know. So yeah,
it was a fantastic movie. You should see it. Yeah. It's fantastic fun.
Okay, right, I'm too young.
So was I. But how do we ensure repetition of that? In all seriousness, without being facetious.
It's just like saying that how do you know this album is going to be a hit? How do you know the artist is going to be a hit? It's an X factor, which you can't tell. Yeah, you have no idea whether the next Coldplay album is going to be a hit. You just got to keep on doing it and keep pushing the boundaries and don't make the same thing as you've been making before this. If not, because it's a content industry, we're not making chairs. You got to have, if you're making chairs, everything needs to be the same.
Correct.
But we are making something different all the time. So we need to always improve and innovate ourselves. Therefore, you always have a pulse on what the market is doing and on what the audience is feeling. And then you always got to give them something that they don't really know that they want yet.
Yeah, a bit like a Steve Jobs. Okay, so pretend that I'm the chairman of your board, Izam.
Right.
And, the edX industry is crumbling. Viewerships are migrating online. Obviously, you do need to make money because net profits are a third of what they were the year before. So you tell me, the chairman of your board, what is the plan for the... In 1 minute, what is the plan going forward?
We got to make something for the international market. That's the way forward.
How much is it going to cost?
It's going to cost more. No, it's not going to cost a lot. And it's going to be way cheaper or way more cost effective than the people outside. So we can actually go into the market for more attractive prices, which is what Primeworks has been doing. We've been going around getting all these international jobs because we actually can deliver the quality at really even less half the price.
Well, it's so nice to hear these messages from you, Zan, because sometimes we do get a bit jaded in our industry and we tend to get a bit put off. But obviously, your words ring nice and positive in
big
time. So, yeah, good luck with the plan.
Thank you.
And thank you for spending time with us. That was Ahmad Izam Omar, the chief executive of Primeworks Sdn Johor Bahru, which is the content creation subsidiary of the government-owned Media Prima Berhad and Malaysia's largest production company, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.